there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I've helped. And I finally let Emily out of the escape room. I had her locked in for the last 3 days. I mean, I didn't lock her in there. She didn't get out of it in 3 days.
Okay, but I had a room to myself. It was padded. And apparently I could sing Disney songs at the top of my lungs and not bother anyone. So explain to me why I would even want to get out of there. It was like a
dream. Well, so why are you out of there and here right now?
Because you said we had to record an episode.
You're right. My mistake.
And you can't do it without me. But I'm probably going to go back in afterwards. I've already moved my comfy pillow in there and my big squishy beanbag chair and a whole bag of chocolate chip cookies. So I think I might just live in there for now.
Yeah, great. You could totally make the escape room your new clubhouse or something or other.
Ooh, I love it. Emily's only.
Okay.
But maybe I'll let you in.
Okay. Oh, no. I think you should keep it Emily's only. It sounds like a good idea.
So I don't want to be so exclusive.
I can never win.
I'll get my inclusivity officer on top of it.
Okay. Oh, you take care of that. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of which, that has nothing to do with what we're going to go into right now. There's no segue situation there. But we have to start. We got a book to talk about. So this is actually another Dear Canada book. So kind of like the Dear America series, Rural Diaries, My Name is America from Scholastic. Still big fans of these series, even though a lot of stuff is about, you know, death and like trying times. But these books are really good and really informative, especially this one. This one is by Julie Lawson, and it's about the Halifax, it's the Halifax Explosion Diary. So Halifax in Nova Scotia, yes. This takes place during World War I. It's December 6, 1917. And because it was a big port city, they had a lot of ships moving in and out there, transporting troops, munitions, all that kind of stuff out of Canada, you know, over to Europe. And there was this situation where you have two boats. One of them was packed with explosive materials for stuff for TNT and things like that. And the two ships are coming at each other. It was obviously a mistake kind of what happened. But one ship thought the other was turning, then to the other ship. Basically, both turned at the same time. And instead of going ahead on crash, they turned into each other and crashed anyways. This is a short version. Yeah. It didn't exactly, but kind of. Well, one boat cut into the other boat. So it was a fire that was caused. Eventually, the abandoned ship, fire caused. And a lot of people who work in the docks, or they're working, you know, they live in the city, they're like, oh, look, there's a fire at the docks. Everyone comes to look. Then all of a sudden, the fire catches on and there's a massive explosion that just rocks. Not just docks, not just whatever, but it leveled neighborhoods. You have pieces were landing miles and miles away, blowing out windows and really, really a terrible situation. And when you read about it, it's so, well, so terrible, but it's like shocking and everything. And then when I asked different Canadians that I know, I mentioned this to them, they're like, oh, we never heard of it. It's like, what? This was considered one of the biggest man-made disasters until basically the A-bomb. And like, even when they, yeah. before they dropped the atom bomb, they actually went to study the explosion pattern that happened in Halifax to get an idea. And they realized that if you explode the bomb mid-air, it has a greater reach. Almost. Like it will do more damage if it explodes mid-air. They somehow figured that out from the Halifax explosion. It's terrible. And I don't know why they think that historical fiction won't sell for like older audiences. There's like a whole gap in young adult that there's very, very little historical fiction, which hopefully will change. But you have this whole Dear Canada series and all these, the Dear America series and all the stuff from Scholastic. And as far as I know, kids, they do love historical fiction. They love to know that these are things that happen.
I just think it's so interesting that, I mean, I think maybe it's telling about how history and how the world works, that even something this massive and this devastating isn't known by everyone, even in Canada,
right.
Because there are so many things that happen all the time in the world, good and bad, that no one person for sure, but not even one society can know about everything. It's just, it's impossible. There are so many stories, you know, people get a little bit frustrated when certain historical events or people aren't known on a massive scale. But there's really no accounting for why certain things stick in the collective conscious or in a national consciousness and some things don't. I mean, that we don't know about this in the U.S. is one thing, but that they don't know about it in Canada. But I don't know enough about Canadian history to know why this didn't stick. But, you know, certain things stick and certain things don't. And it's just, I mean, it's, reading this at 12 could potentially be very scary.
Yeah.
But also it could provide a really interesting lesson in, oh, things happen all the time. They have happened throughout history. They will probably continue to happen. And life goes on. I don't know exactly what the lesson is, but I think it's just good to be aware of what sort of things happen in the world.
Yeah. We didn't say our scales are violence is 2.5 yes. because it does talk about people losing limbs and the explosion and getting burned and all that sort of stuff. Language is a 0, thank God, as well it should be. Romance is a 1, but it's really, really light just because there's an older sister who gets engaged, another sister who's trying to chase after boys, kind of. And that's also, like, she loses... Oh, and someone's stuck under a piano, I think?
Her sister.
Yeah, right. So, terrible. Terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And they... Like, she basically loses her whole family. Well, except for her twin brother, right? And there's another brother who's at war that's brought back. But yes. Everybody else in the family is gone. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And actually, one very positive thing about this is that the response, and also historically, the response was immediate. You had people from, you know, as far away as Boston were sending clothes and food. And also because it's around holiday time. And the community and those who were, you know, those who survived stepped up majorly. And that also is something to focus on. It's not just the explosion, but the way that people responded to it and the way people support each other and came together for people. Because there are children who lost families and there are, you know, or lost siblings and parents and things like that. And there were, you know, we're going to make sure that you've got clothes, that you're clothed and that you're fed and you've got a roof over your head. And they really did step up in a great, in a very admirable way for this. So probably Halifax, I think yearly they have something to celebrate the anniversary of this. But I guess Yeah.
Sorry, in the book it mentioned, I think, every year on December 6th at, I think, 9 o'clock in the morning or whenever.
Right.
I don't know if it's a moment of silence or the bells toll. There's definitely some marking of the moment.
Right. And they also had certain things, like because they were on a winter schedule, so school started a half hour later. Because it was a half hour later, more kids were at home instead of being in school, which is a little bit farther away from where the explosion reached. So sometimes you have all these things that factor together to make a situation worse. You know, there's nothing to do about it. It was actually also pretty, the writing of it was actually pretty good, if I remember also, because she comes across, just like it seems like, oh, like a regular family, like everything's flying and everything's, they seem like just like regular siblings. Again, there was no specific drama as far as all that goes. Like, sure, siblings fight and all that kind of stuff, but it felt very much like she was in a regular family. This person teases that person, they share their laughs. This person's like that one, so it's a more favorite, less favorite.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, wasn't quite bullying, but a little bit. The older sister, she's two older sisters, so the younger of the older sister, the middle child, I guess, teases her a lot, but it and it never unfortunately gets resolved. But yes, it's more of just normal family teasing. It's not, and I think she even realizes at one point, like, oh, she was the baby, and then I was born, and now I'm the baby. So she's always resented me for that, which is kind of a normal thing to happen in families.
Yeah. You also have that, like, apparently the parents, you know, they're so in love, so they got married, even though their parents didn't necessarily approve of it. But in the end, the grandparents do take the kids in, and they do try to give them a very warm, you know, happy life. So you do have that kind of stuff, too. But it really, these stories, as much as whatever development the characters go through or whatever the character story are, it's really about the time that they're living through and what they experienced. And it's just a way for kids to learn about these things through the eyes of someone their own age.
Yes.
To get an idea of what that is and what that might seem like. I know a lot of people like, oh, we don't want to give kids scary stuff, which makes sense, but there is... I mean, these kids live through it. This did happen to kids. And
right.
It's not... There's no benefit to not letting kids know, kind of like you were saying, that these things happen throughout history. And also, whatever you're going through now, let's find let's imitate the resilience of these characters. And let's find the same kind of perseverance, because our life is better than then. So yes. Surely we have better tools. Hopefully we have better tools to deal with it.
I think if you're if you're a parent and you're afraid to give your kids a fictional horror story where there's a ton of gore and it's not like it's just gory for gory or scary for scariness' sake, that I can understand. But this is, I mean, it's fiction, but it's historical fiction. And I think, I don't know, I read so much historical fiction when I was younger. I loved it. And, you know, you get to learn, you get to see what life was like for, I mean, these are written as diaries, so it's supposed to be what was life like. And they're real people, or they're written like they're real people. And it's just, it's worth reading for adults too, but definitely young kids should read them.
Yeah. And it's also interesting because it doesn't really, as much as it speaks about World War One or about, you know, people not coming home or people who got killed in war, it doesn't, it's also because this explosion was so huge and so much more immediate. This kind of takes over, but maybe that's also why it's not as remembered, because World War Two follows World War One. So the horrors, you know, the horrors of what happened during World War Two almost eclipsed.
Right.
Okay. It doesn't really eclipse mustard gas, but it kind of just,
but people it do almost remember does World in a way. Yeah, yeah, people definitely remember and know more about World War II. And people don't know much about World War II, but if they know about one, they definitely know more about World War II than World War I. And maybe that's part of the, I don't know if message, but the commentary here is that there was a war going on across the world, but this could still happen somewhere else. It's not like, oh, there's a war somewhere else, so then, I mean, life was hard anyway because there were rations, and she's talking about knitting all the time because they're knitting socks for the soldiers, and her brother's away. So there's all these, so there's personal hardships, but then there's also this, the community had to come together in a way that they didn't imagine that they would have to. And even it said at the time after the explosion, there were soldiers who were there at the time that helped out. You know, they were supposed to get shipped out, but they were helping out in the hospitals. And she herself, she describes that she was, it was a soldier who carried her to the hospital.
Right.
I did like the, I like a diary format in general when reading a book. There's something, you know, I guess just because it's personal. Plus, it's always a little bit easier to read through because you think, oh, I don't have to go through a whole chapter. I only have to get through.
Right.
So sometimes it feels like a quicker read, but this one was really cool because it starts off like a normal diary, you know, January 1st, 1917 or whenever it starts. And then when it gets to the explosion, it breaks in the middle of her writing.
Right.
And suddenly there are no dates. You don't, the writing disorients you in the way that she would have been disoriented.
Right.
And I thought that the style really reflected the story in a very good way there.
Right.
And just, you don't necessarily read these books for their literary merits. You read them for the history. But in this case, I would say literarily, it was clever. And I liked it.
Well, that's all. But then again, that also goes back, well, sort of what you were saying before. That goes back also to the response, that even with rations going on, even with the war going on, they still responded to this at-home disaster, like, immediately. And people were sending clothes, and that means people are really looking out for each other then. It's a really good thing to know and to remember that we used to be like that, you know, without any politicking or without any nonsense. They got, like, almost, what, 2,000 people killed? What are the numbers?
Yeah, about 2,000. Killed, and that was not just from, so there was the explosion, and then the explosion caused a tsunami. So explosion itself, you know, there was shrapnel, and then it also caused buildings to catch fire and to level, so people died from those and their injuries. And then also there was a tsunami, so people drowned, and then about 9,000 injured. And of course, when we hear injured, we have to remember that injured doesn't just mean a scrape. Injured can mean you lost an eye or a limb, or you lost your hearing. It can, I mean, injury range from minor to major.
Right. Right. This was a crazy thing to, especially because it didn't really happen that long ago.
Right.
Like, okay, sure, at this point it's over 100 years ago, but it's not that long ago. Especially because World War I still seems like a recent
Yeah.
World War One and World War Two still seem like recent events. So if this happened during World War One, it is kind of recent.
Yeah.
And whoever knew it happened.
That's yeah.
Historical fiction, there should be more of it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't know that there wasn't a lot for young adult. I feel like...
Yeah, they don't think it sells as well, which is nonsense.
Interesting.
But I'm also biased toward historical fiction, but they're just stuck on the fantasy and trying to boost sci-fi and like romance contemporary. Yeah.
Well,
if it's a good book, it will sell. Come on, people.
Yeah. And if you do want to learn about history, one of the best ways to do it is by reading, well, people say biographies. So in this case, for a kid, it's a fictional biography, because then you're not just seeing, like, reading history can be super dry. But when you're reading, let's say you're reading about Ben Franklin, so you get to read about all the things that Ben Franklin did. So you learn about the time, but you get to learn about it, a person, and reading about one particular person's journey, just, it's more interesting because there's personal conflicts and relationships, and then also all the history.
Right. Right.
There was one other thing that I wanted to mention that was in my head 2 seconds ago about this book, and now I can't remember what it is, and it's really frustrating me because I don't know if it was super important. But it was something I wanted to share, something that I enjoyed about the book. So if I remember, dear listeners, I will try to mention it. And if you are waiting with bated breath to find out what that is, I'm gonna plug right now. You can follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. And who knows, maybe there I will say what I was going to say about this book. Or maybe I won't. Because maybe I'll never remember it. Who knows? It's a mystery.
Yeah! Yay! Okay, great. We're ending off with another mystery now.
Yes. We are basically Sherlock Holmes and Watson. And I think it's very clear which of us is which.
Oh, I was just thinking of being like a puzzle master, but I guess if we have to take specific roles like that, I'll get my Sherlock hat.
Oh, I don't think... I mean, I made it out of the escape room, so clearly I'm the Sherlock. In this situation.
Yeah, but you only got out of the escape room because I unlocked the door. So you're kind of Watson because you got in trouble and I had to save you.
But did I trick you into opening the door using my mind powers because I'm so smart?
So now you're someone else entirely if you have mind powers.
Well, not like literal mind powers, just like really smart.
Yeah. So we'll go figure this out. And maybe we'll let you know. Maybe we won't. Another mystery. Maybe.
Thanks for listening.
Catch you later, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.